First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 16th, 2022. John chapter 1. A voice.
Please rise. And join me in reading John 1:23. He said, "I am the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, make the way of the Lord straight." As Isaiah the prophet said. You may be seated.
Thank you very much. And we're talking about John the Baptizer, not John the writer, John the apostle, but John the Baptizer, as we continue his testimony, his witness about Jesus Christ. This is the testimony of John. We're talking about John the Baptizer. When the Jews sent priests and Levites to him from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" John the Baptizer made his first public appearance in the year of the summer of 26 AD. I think our calendar is off slightly. I think our calendar is off in relationship to the birth of our Lord. And most people think, and I agree with them, it's about 4 years too early. So it's Jesus would be born in -4, 4 BC. Talk to me later. I'll give you my opinion. And it's close, but not exact. We're talking about John the Baptizer again. His austere mode of life, stern preaching, and emphasis upon the fact that even the sons of Abraham, Jews, are in need of thorough repentance and spiritual cleansing, pictured by baptism, caused a mighty stir among the people. All of Judea, I'm reading from Mark 1:5, the New Living Testament. All of Judea, including all people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. I want to talk about what they did first. It was not Christian baptism. Why? When John preached, he preached a repentance message. He preached a conversion message. And all those who responded to him responded like they were coming to Israel first. If you were a non-Jew and you became a follower of Judaism, it's called a proselyte, you would embrace the Jewish faith and the Jewish God, and you would confess your sins, like I said, and self-immerse yourself. You could be immersed by someone else, but you could practice Jewish proselyte baptism by dipping yourself in the water completely. So John could have preached a message, everybody repented, and those who repented and confessed their sins would go in the water, and he wouldn't have to do one at a time. They would all dip themselves in the water to show their sorrow for sin. Because you would notice if someone got wet completely, and they would stand out in a crowd because they had gotten wet. They had totally immersed themselves in the water. So they would stand out. Why did you get wet? Why did you go to the river? Oh, I was confessing my sins and admitting that I was a sinner. Essentially, they were getting saved. So they would respond to his message and get baptized, some in mass, some one at a time, and they would have a mark of being wet. They could dry off, but they would stand out in a crowd. I am not the Christ. And so they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. John is indeed was born into a priestly family. Not all of the people who heard him knew his father was a priest. Zechariah was his name. So he belonged to the tribe of Levi, not to Judah, which David and his family belonged. His parentage may not have been known to the populace at large. In any case, there was a wide variety of messianic hope. Micah 4, Malachi 4 says that somebody would come and prefigure or precede the Messiah. So they were asking him, who are you? Are you, the verse says, are you the Christ? Are you Elijah? Are you the prophet? And he answered, no. Alongside of the expectation of Messiah of David's line, there is evidence of the expectation in some quarters, not everybody believe it, that there would be also an anointed one who was a priest, who was in Aaron's line. I think that was wrong, but there was an expectation that a priest would come for the people. And Jesus functioned as prophet, priest, and king. And so they knew he would be a priest. So there was an expectation that he would be, some people believed that he would be the Messiah. So they're asking him all the questions they could. At any rate, people began to wonder who he was and what he claimed to be. And I'll say again, it was John the Baptizer they were curious about. This is the background of the question, who are you? People are wondering whether or not you're the Messiah. What have you to say for yourself? Hence, John answers, I am not. This reply is immediately followed by the question, are you the prophet? Some have interpreted this passage as having reference to another forerunner of the Messiah. Others as pointing forward to the Messiah himself, which was the correct view. The baptizer, accepting this correct explanation and knowing that he himself was not the Messiah, answers no. He said, I am the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, make the way of the Lord straight, as Isaiah the prophet said. Straight, what does that mean? He wanted to influence the people so the Messiah, when he came, would already expect the people who were insincere in following Jesus to have an easier time because they had already been told the truth. Everybody, children of Abraham, children of the Gentiles, children of Rome, needed to hear the same message. The Lord is going to come. The Lord has expectations of his followers. The Lord wants you to live by the law, yes, but the law in your hearts. You need to have, would later be said, a birth from above, a new birth. Everybody needed to hear that message. Some of the people thought that they would be saved because they were ethnically Jewish people. So it was unusual to have someone preach. Even Jewish people needed to make the way of the Lord clear. Straight means you needed to be in the place where Jesus would be preaching and you would understand and already have heard his message. Make the way of the Lord straight means you need to not go here or there with your thoughts about God. You need to not obey sometimes and obey other times. But it should be a straight shot for you to listen to God. This is a rather free quotation of Isaiah 40, verse 3. What is elsewhere said about John, Matthew 3:13, Mark 1:3, and Luke 3:4, John himself said, these are all Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are what people would say about him. He said, he agreed, I am the voice of one calling out of the wilderness. Make the way of the Lord straight. Also, the baptizer wished to say, I want to emphasize, the Jews, including the members of the investigating committee, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, should make straight the Lord's highway that leads into their hearts. Genuine sorrow for sin and prayer for mercy and pardon are required. Both of these, of course, are considered the product of God's sovereign grace. If God has worked in your heart, your mind, your soul, you will have come to the conclusion that you need God to forgive you. You need to find God's mercy. You need to ask, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Baptist is only a voice. Let them realize that the command to repent, to change your view, is issued by the one whom the voice represents. In verse 25 and 26, they asked him and said to him, why then are you baptizing if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize in water, but among you stands one who you do not know. He is saying that Jesus was alive, but he was unknown to the people. He didn't present himself as the Messiah until he was going to be baptized by John. That happens later. In the final analysis, was not the cleansing of the people a distinctively messianic act according to passages like Ezekiel 35? I've got it quoted here, verse 26. I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. Why then did John baptize if he was neither the Messiah or the kind of forerunner they expected? They did not expect somebody to come and preach a hard message of repentance. They expected grace. They expected mercy. They expected that all of them would be accepted by God for being Jewish. But no. It is clear from the question that they had not understood the meaning of the baptizer's reference to the herald as we read before. And I did not recognize him, but so that he would be revealed to Israel, I came baptizing in water. It's amazing that John said this, because wasn't Jesus his cousin? Yes, but they didn't have internet. They didn't have a mail system. They could get messages from there here to there, but everybody could not use the mail service. It was designed for religious leaders or government officials. So it's important to notice that John the Baptizer didn't recognize Jesus at first as the Messiah. There's plenty of people who claimed to be the Messiah. They had followers, but he didn't recognize him as from God until he baptized him later. By saying, I baptize with water, John points out that there is, after all, a vast difference between what he is doing and what the Messiah will do. All John can do is administer the sign, water. He came preaching, and if they repented, if they confessed their sins, they would be baptized. But he could not give them new life with the Holy Spirit. The Messiah, he alone, can baptize, can bestow the thing signified, the cleansing power of the Holy Spirit. And he said that the Messiah actually has already arrived and lived among the people. He is standing right in their very midst. He belongs to their own generation and is at the point of beginning his public labors as John's successor. In fact, he has already been baptized. John's telling part of the story, and I didn't want to keep you for 2 hours. So we'll cover this in the next, I think in the next sermon. But he has already been baptized by John. Yet, they do not know him and seemed not even to be concerned about him. In their eagerness to expose false messiahs, they ignore the true Messiah. In fact, John deems himself unworthy of performing even the humblest servant service for the stranger of Galilee. Jesus lived in Galilee. John lived in the environment of the Jordan River. He probably lived near Jerusalem because his dad, the priest, would have had to work in Jerusalem. So they didn't see each other. Kneeling down in front of him in order to unloose his sandal straps and remove the sandals with a view of washing his feet. The next day, he saw Jesus coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But the designation with which he greets Jesus' appearance is startling, at least. It must have been so to those who heard it for the first time. He was announcing that Jesus was the Lamb of God. It's an unusual phrase, the Lamb of God. As a matter of fact, it appears that John the Baptizer is the first person to announce that Jesus was the Lamb of God. To us, the designation Lamb of God is so familiar in Christian speech and art, we can scarcely realize how strange it must have been to John's audience. Many attempts have been made to discover the background of John's phraseology. Probably no one usage accounts for the complete background. Jesus is presented as a sacrifice in Isaiah 52 and 53, but nowhere in the Old Testament specifically is he called the Lamb of God. It would not entirely account for the New Testament usage, which has a new and creative element in it. Catch this. It is he in behalf of whom I said, after me is coming a man who has proved to be my superior. And John plainly says, because he existed before me. Because he existed before me. That's what John had revealed to him. John was older in about 9 months than Jesus, but he existed before me. How is that possible? This testimony has already been quoted in verse 15. Formerly, John has to speak of this person in general terms. Now he can point it out. It is probable that the baptizer had often spoken of the Christ in language similar to that employed in verse 30. And I did not recognize him, but so that he would be revealed to Israel, I came baptizing in water. The baptizer means to say, I did not know him any more than you knew him. The word recognize, and I did not recognize him, describes the mental process of coming to accept the truth. It refers to knowledge by intuition or reflection. It was revealed to John the Baptizer that his cousin, Jesus, was the Lamb of God, the already existing God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was face to face with the Father. It's distinguished from other words which refers to a knowledge by observation and experience. He didn't. He would have learned that he was older, but it was revealed to him that Jesus was very God of very God, and that he preexisted John because he was a member of the Trinity. The Word was God because he was revealed. It was revealed to him by God, I think. Nevertheless, it is clear from the context that the reference here is to something higher than mere physical acquaintance. I did not know of first. I like this translation of John 1, 33 through 34 in the New Living Testament. I didn't know he, Jesus, was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. The baptizer confesses that it had to be revealed to him from above that his cousin, Jesus, is the Christ. In that sense, he had not known him. But in order that he, Jesus, in that capacity, might be made manifest to Israel. For this reason, John says, I came baptizing with water. John was known as a great prophet, a great teacher, a great caller for the people to follow God. And it was fitting that he should first be the revealer of Jesus as God, Jesus as the Messiah, Jesus who would become known to take over John's message. And John testified, saying, "I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him." Luke 3:22. "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove on him, and a voice from heaven which said, 'You are my beloved Son.'" Thus, by comparing what we discover, that what John beheld was the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Spirit has no body and cannot be seen. But I think that it teaches that the Holy Spirit was in appearance as a dove. We are distinctively told that it was under the symbolism of a dove that the third person of the Trinity manifested himself to the baptizer. Why a dove? It is not clear why God chose the dove to represent the Holy Spirit, but it made an impression on the early church, and they understood, all understood, that the Holy Spirit is depicted as a dove. "And I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, 'He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit.'" The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to purify from sin, to make qualified the ones who God would save to stand before God, because God can't have sin in his presence. So the Holy Spirit came to cleanse us, purify us, and make us holy, and present us to God. Water baptism merely symbolized the cleaning and removal of sin. The Holy Spirit, as given by Jesus, Jesus gives the gift of the Holy Spirit, accomplish this in reality. "And I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." This shows clearly that man who had this wonderful experience wishes to declare in a most solemn manner that he not only saw, but the vision is still before his eyes. That he not only testified, but he still stands behind his testimony. By placing the title "Son" at the very end of the sentence, a striking climax results. It's in beautiful harmony with John's purpose for writing this letter, John the Apostle. Seen in verses 30 and 31. "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe." John the baptizer's testimony of him goes to John's purpose for including him, because that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. The expression "the Son of God" here in John 1:34 refers to God's own special Son, the eternal second person of the Trinity, in the most exalted sense which that term can be used. It expresses the peculiar relationship which exists eternally between the Father and the Son. Many other references lean towards this expression in John's writings. For us, the baptizer, we're not talking about John the Apostle, but John the Baptizer, sees Jesus returning from the desert of temptation and exclaims, "Look, the Lamb of God who is taking away the sin of the world. I myself did not know him," says John, continuing the testimony. This Lamb of God was Jesus, has been revealed to the baptizer from a direct message from God. I would like to conclude with a short but humorous story. This is a picture of from 1953. It's the only picture I could find from this restaurant, but it's a specific restaurant. Little Thompson at the Western Steakhouse and Lounge, 1298 Madison Avenue, Memphis, Tennessee. Why is it famous? Elvis Presley used to go there when he was rich and famous. He used to go to that steakhouse because he lived in Memphis, Tennessee, and he got along with the people. He got along with the owners and used to go out in the public. Elvis Presley used to frequent Little Thompson's Steakhouse in Memphis, Tennessee. He was good friends with the owner, who used to give him free food, even before he was famous. One night, when he was at the height of his fame, he was famous already, the steakhouse held the ultimate Elvis Presley impersonator contest. A large crowd arrived, including Elvis Presley himself. Elvis decided not to make a big deal about it, but he was going to participate and take part quietly as an Elvis Presley impersonator with the rest of the crowd. Elvis said confidently, "Oh, I'm going to mash this," unquote. The owners were worried that the place would go crazy when everyone realized it was Elvis. They didn't announce his name. They just presented, "Oh, we have another Elvis Presley impersonator." There was no need, of course. He sang "Love Me Tender" to only polite applause. Did he win? He didn't come in first. He didn't come in second. He came in third place as an Elvis impersonator. He didn't even win his own contest. It's easy to miss Jesus. He's the real thing. Jesus is a prophet, teacher, miracle worker, and he can be easily missed. The Son of God, the Savior, comes when we least expect him.